Throughout the summer, Democrats cruelly blocked COVID relief legislation in an effort to advance their extreme left-wing agenda and influence the election. Then, a few months ago, Congress started negotiations on a new package to get urgently needed help to the American people. It's taken forever. However, the bill they are now planning to send back to my desk is much different than anticipated. It really is a disgrace. For example, among the more than 5,000 pages in this bill, which nobody in Congress has read because of its length and complexity, it's called the COVID relief bill, but it has almost nothing to do with COVID.
David, here we are starting off Wednesday, December 23rd, with President Donald Trump talking about the COVID relief bill being a disgrace.
Yes, you know, the guy is a hedgehog. He burrows underground, lives in his reality down there. And in that little hedgehog reality, there's multiple TVs that focus on Fox, OANN, and Newsmax, as we've been talking about, and then puts up his head when he needs, I don't know, some kind of food or something, and finds that they passed a bill that he refused to engage in entirely. So for him, it's like, oh my gosh, there's a bill here that's on my desk now that I need to deal with. And that bill is really two bills. It's a COVID relief bill with unemployment insurance and direct payments, none of which are as good as they should be, but are still nonetheless significant. And then there's a second bill, which is the end of the year spending bill that puts into place a variety of things going into 2021 to keep the government going, and also to reflect a whole bunch of priorities by legislators. These are two different bills. And the first bill, the COVID bill, he now wants $2,000 instead of $600 in direct payments. If he would have engaged around the bill, maybe he could have gotten that. But you know which political party doesn't want $2,000? It's his. Okay, right. So I want to talk in this podcast about what that means for the Georgia races, that he's pushing for $2,000. And the second bill, all the stuff that he goes on in that speech to criticize about, it's in the bill, like money for Cambodia, money for climate change, all these things. Many of those are things that he included in his fiscal 2021 budget request, his. But he has no idea of this. He has no clue because he's the hedgehog who just puts his head up. So he yesterday was a red letter, terrible day for this president, for America. His pardons, the horrible people, these criminals that he has pardoned, including two of his earliest congressional endorsers, Chris Collins and Duncan Hunter Jr. Just horrible for this country that he did that. And then this diatribe that he levels against the COVID relief bill. He goes on in that speech to list a whole bunch of things that he doesn't think should be there, that he requested should be there. And then he finishes that speech with what he has lived to do for 4 years, which is to threaten and to put his own actions at the center of the drama. Because what's he gonna do? What's Trump gonna do? Is always the game that he's interested in.
Congress found plenty of money for foreign countries, lobbyists, and special interests while sending the bare minimum to the American people who need it. It wasn't their fault. It was China's fault, not their fault. I am asking Congress to amend this bill and increase the ridiculously low $600 to $2,000 or $4,000 for a couple. I'm also asking Congress to immediately get rid of the wasteful and unnecessary items from this legislation and to send me a suitable bill, or else the next administration will have to deliver a COVID relief package, and maybe that administration will be me, and we will get it done. Thank you very much.
I think what's always so telling is how in this Trump universe, and the capital of which is Crazy Town, is yes. You cannot it's like being in the middle of a sandstorm. Crazy Town's one of those Western towns of the bygone era where the wind is blowing and things are flying all over the place. And you just cannot separate fact from fiction, the cries of people in need from the sounds of parties taking place in fancy mansions around there. I mean, it's all just a big jumble of confusion and, you know, I don't even know if it's deliberate anymore or if that's where his Swiss cheese of a steroid brain resides.
Yeah, I don't. I think there's always that mix of some intentionality and some just knee-jerk reflexivity that has served him well over time, a chaos creation that he thrives upon. This morning, that was last night, and he forced MSNBC's Rachel Maddow to completely change her show in order to deal with the pardons and the speech because they were just so terrible and crazy, and she threw out her plan and then ended up focusing on that. But this morning there was an email that went out to all the executive office employees and said, hey, starting January 3rd, you should start to look for other employment, and your final paycheck will go through January 19th. These are political appointees. But then 20 minutes later, a correction email went out and said, you don't need to look for work, and we'll be going forward full steam, all plans for our second term. Okay. And so all of those people in that White House, they have no clue what to do. They're like, should they? Of course they should be looking for another job. Of course they should. But the kowtowing to the president's ego and the necessity of protecting his fragile sense of identity refuses to allow the country to move forward. And so that's what the speech was last night. And the pardons were Trump's need to reassert himself back into the space at the center of the American political arena. Joe Biden is there increasingly now. Congress got something done. Took them 9 months to get a mediocre COVID bill passed. And then the president comes along like the hedgehog, puts his head out and says, I want them to change it. I want them to change it and put in $2,000 instead of $600 for people, direct payments. The Senate is not in session. The House is not in session, although they come back tomorrow for a brief amount of time. They can't just change it, but the Democrats love this. This is what I want to talk about. So let me first say that the president is threatening to veto a bill that was going to bring real money to people. That money is desperately needed by millions of Americans. So the president doesn't care about these people. He doesn't care at all. He just wants to put himself at the center of the game, in his mind, the game. But there's real people affected by this, real people. But when you do turn to this, to the implications of this politically, the Democrats, well, they wanted $2,000. This is the Democratic position. And the folks who didn't want $2,000 going to people was the Republican Party. And so Trump has just undermined the entire political party that he is part of. And he's particularly going to hurt the two Republican candidates in Georgia, David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler, who had already started running ads yesterday based upon the passage of this bill with the $600 payments, saying that they got it done while the Democrats were the problem. They had started running ads, taking credit for it. Now their president, who the voters in the Republican Party love, 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 has called it a disgrace and says that he doesn't want it. He doesn't want it at all. So Loeffler and Perdue are left out there holding the bag, trying to appeal to moderate Republicans by saying, we got something done that's good. While the Crazy Town Republicans, which is the majority of them, are sitting there saying, look, our guy said, this is terrible. It's a disgrace. And Trump always knows the right eviscerating word to choose, calling it a disgrace. So Loeffler and Perdue are in these horrible circumstances right now, and they don't know what to do. And we're 2 weeks out from the end of the runoff election. The president is about to veto the National Defense Authorization Act, which will put Purdue and Trump in this horrible position, Purdue and Loeffler, in this horrible position of having to either vote to override Trump or to go along with Republicans in supporting that bill. And the president's threatening to veto this COVID bill. This president is doing all this to put himself at the center of American politics. And Axios reports this morning that he's doing it so that he can split the Republican Party. Because if he splits the Republican Party between the establishment and the Trump acolytes, even stronger of a split than it's been, that he maintains power going forward. That's what this is all about.
But he his people can easily hold. I mean, consistency is the hobgoblin of little minds. I forget who said that. But so people can hold contradictory positions, and his people in particular can hold contradictory positions. So they can say, at the most logical, they can say, well, it's a disgraceful bill, but we got something. I mean, that's what right. The Loefflers and Purdue's can argue. And so they can have it sort of both ways, can't they? And the Democrats are out there going, yeah, we wanted more. And to Trump supporters, it'll look like, oh, you know, they were the corrupt ones who, with their left-wing agenda, who destroyed it. I mean, that's what they'll pick out of what Trump says.
Yeah, but I think that I don't think you can hold both of those thoughts the way that you presented them, because Trump didn't say this is a horrible bill, but we'll take it. That's not what he said. He said this is a disgrace and Congress should go back and change it, which is something that just is not going to happen. But the Democrats, to their political credit, jumped on it last night, and Nancy Pelosi tweeted, and then Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez got in on it, and then Chuck Schumer was in on it. So all of these Democrats who are usually arguing with each other suddenly get united again, and they all say, hey, you know what? Great idea, Mr. President. That's what we were fighting for, $2,000. And so Pelosi says, we'll put forward a unanimous consent thing on the floor tomorrow when the House gets together briefly on December 24th, asking to adjust, to amend the bill to $2,000 payments instead of $600. And Ocasio-Cortez tweets out, I've already got the language written. Rashida Tlaib and I have it written. Here it is. Here's the amendment. And Schumer says, I'm in. Mitch, how about you? Are you in? And so they're going to do it tomorrow. Republicans will protest, will stop the unanimous consent, so it won't go through in the House. But this puts all of the onus and pressure on Republicans as the problem. So these aren't contradictory thoughts. They're like, this is a bad bill, but it's still better than nothing. What the president is saying is, this is a bad bill. Change it. So now Loeffler and Purdue, what are they going to do? Oh, and by the way, Steve, I know there's a certain amount of glee in my voice because this is all just so fucking crazy town. But the reality is that Lindsey Graham came out last night and said, I'm with the president on this. Let's move the numbers to 2,000. Okay. Because that's what Lindsey Graham does. He's the caddy. He's the golf caddy, right? It's like, whatever you say, sir. So this is such disarray. This is such dysfunction. And it's so horrible, just so, so horrible. But at least the damage that's being done politically is being done to the Republicans. And if the president wants to go out with that, doing that, which he clearly does, the way he's attacked the Georgia politicians for months now, they started running ads again this morning, by the way, the Trump campaign did. National ads. They started running them again, pointing out that Georgia is fraudulent in their argument. They just won't let it go. So the Trump is all about just destroying and blowing up the Republican Party. So to their own spoils comes them.
Well, okay. I mean, if you're applying the logic of a logical, semi-rational thinker to somebody who, but I get it. I get what you're saying. I think they can hold all those contradictory thoughts. I don't think people will say, they just won't put the onus on Trump. They just won't. They'll still, it feels like they'll still push back against Democrats because they'll take out the language of, you know, radical, Marxist, liberal, left-wing agenda. I mean, it's just like people have, it's like the Stepford Wives. Maybe it's not, yeah, a little bit like the Stepford Wives. People are just so conditioned to run through these Swiss cheese mazes of his mind that they can hate and love the same things.
Right, but they can do that for Trump because he's the cult leader. They can do that for Trump, who has lost the election already and it's going to leave. But they can't
keep telling
do it
me
for
that, but he says something different, so I'm not sure you're right.
No, I'm right. He's leaving. But the voters can't handle those contradictory thoughts relative to other members of the political party, Republican Party. They struggle with this mightily, and Georgia's ground zero for it. And the Democrats, John Ossoff and Raphael Warnock, are already on this, pushing for $2,000. So all of the Democratic Party, which you recall for about the last month, has been having to suddenly deal with all of their internal challenges, which are real. All of a sudden, it's back to united because Trump has given them the $2,000 magical number. Here's Ossoff from last night.
President Trump is, as ever, erratic and all over the place. But on this point tonight, he's right. $600 is a joke. They should send $2,000 checks to the American people right now because people are hurting. And David Perdue, my opponent, who opposed even the first round of $1,200 checks. Imagine that. Imagine a sitting U.S. senator who was profiting from the pandemic buying medical and vaccine stocks, opposed even the first single round of $1,200 checks, has obstructed direct relief for the last 8 months, and now decided he wanted to cut it down to $600 when people can barely feed their families through no fault of their own. Congress should pass $2,000 checks. They should have done it 2 months ago.
Well,
yeah, they should run on that. His campaign should begin every public statement with President Trump is right, and go into all the different Republican strongholds and just start with that.
Exactly right. He should go in there and say, why don't Perdue and Loeffler, line up with your president? Because, the critique among Trumpsters in Georgia already is that Loeffler and Perdue are not fighting hard enough for their president. That's already the criticism that's very much there, because they haven't fought as hard as the Trump campaign, Trump voters would like to make the claim that the president was ripped off in Georgia. So there's already this deep, deep sense among some subset, not a huge, but a meaningful subset of the Republicans in Georgia, that Loeffler and Perdue aren't real Trump supporters. Now they're going to be asked, do you want it to be $600 or $2,000? What do you want it to be? And there is no winning answer for them on that. Meanwhile, Ossoff and Warnock, there's a very simple answer. Yes, the president is usually wrong, but on this one, he's right. $2,000. This is what we've been saying from the beginning. Let's get it done.
And you can get it done by putting us into office and changing Congress.
Exactly. Right. Well, I think they can then close the circle all the way and say, if nothing happens now, when we get into Congress, it will happen. It will happen, right? So I just think that the president has given a gift. It's a Christmas miracle. Has given a gift to the Democrats in Georgia. Like, I tell you, absolutely everything has to go politically the way the Democrats to win a Senate runoff election in Georgia, let alone to win two of them. And so far, it's happening, okay? So the president is horrible, horrible, horrible. The pardons are unconscionable. His disdain for the American public on rules of law, and also on the money that's going to be coming to them through the COVID bill. His dismissal and disdain is reprehensible. And at the same time, he does not have good political instincts. What he has is a scattershot approach that worked in 2016. Because he had an opponent who was weighed down by history and by baggage and by sexism. He doesn't have any of that and hasn't had any of that since 2016. And so he just says things and they don't work anymore. He's gone shortly, but he isn't gone for the Republican Party. he's going to take them down with him.
Can't imagine what it would be like to work in the White House at this point. And unless there's just the Stepford True Believers walking the halls, there must be amazing books to come out about this administration. I guess whether or not he can force people in federal employment to sign NDAs, which is unclear, but it's going to be amazing. Unless they're all crazy, unless they're all equally crazy with him walking around those halls.
I don't know. Mark Meadows, chief of staff, was in Georgia yesterday. He was observing the signature audit that's occurring in Fulton County or DeKalb. I can't remember where it's occurring. He was there, and he said, "Hey, it looks good to me. I'm going to go back and tell the president," which of course will mean nothing to the president, but he's there. So I think you either are crazy or you have to sign an agreement to be crazy, to be in the White House currently, okay? Meanwhile, Joe Biden looks better by the day, man. Looks better by the day, all right?
Just because he's rational.
Exactly. He's a reasonable human being who deals with truth and facts, doesn't satisfy, you know, pretty much anybody in the Democratic Party enough, but everybody sees in him a better path forward. So, folks, we can win Georgia. It continues to be an uphill climb, but we can win this. We are in sight of the summit 2 weeks from now. And the president has given us a further opportunity. We got a call, we got a text, we got an email, a postcard. Let's go, folks. We got work to do.